Here this morning. So we have a lot of things on the back of the worship folder for you to check out what we have for things going on. I'm not going to go through them all anymore. We're going to just let you look at the worship folder. We do have prayer meeting on Wednesdays, which is important. I'm hoping you get on the, you can go to the website and just click on prayer meeting, and it takes you right there, so it works really good. And we hope that you join us, 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. Men have a retreat at Rockaway Beach next weekend, 22nd to the 24th. So if anybody's interested, be sure and see Bill. And the women have Springs Connection. It's just a one day, and it's at Newburgh Church of God. So if anybody's interested, just there's papers out on the in the narthex there that you can sign up for. They're really wanting to have us registered by next week, but if we don't make it, that's okay. We can get it in. Yeah, April 20. Oh, April 25th, not March. We got lots of time. It's May 4th is when it is. So we have lots of time. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful to be here today, Lord, to come to your house to worship you, Lord. And we just pray that all of us just calm our hearts, forget about that world outside there, and just focus on Jesus, Lord. We are so thankful that you gave your son for us. And it's getting close to Easter, Lord, and we need to be concentrating on you and what you did. Jesus, you died for us, and we are so thankful for that. Be with us, Lord, as we sing praises to you. Be with Pastor Teresa as she gives the message today. We know it's something you have put on her heart to share, and we are so thankful for that. We thank you, Lord, for all of the blessings that you give us each and every day. In Jesus' precious name we pray this. Amen. All right. We are going to stand and go to the call to worship, and it's Revelation 21:4.
He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.
Amen, that's right. So we're going to sing Greater. This is a good song.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be mentor to me. Every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. But that's all right, because I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world, in the world, in the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. Bring your doubts and bring your fears. Bring your hurt and bring your tears. There'll be no condemnation here. You are holy, righteous, and redeemed. Every time I fall, there'll be those who will call me a mistake. Well, that's okay, because I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world, in the world, in the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. There'll be days I lose the battle. Grace says that it doesn't matter, cause the cross already won the war. I am learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more. There'll be days I lose the battle. Grace says that it doesn't matter, cause the cross already won the war. I am learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more. Cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world, in the world, in the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world.
Doesn't that feel good to know that we have Jesus in us, in the Holy Spirit? All right, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed from the darkness of the night that so thickly enveloped my soul. In my heart there have gleamed rays of wonderful light, where the waves of thy glory now roll. I'm redeemed,
I'm redeemed.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
I'm redeemed. blood of the Lamb. I am saved from all sin, and I'm walking in the light. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm redeemed by the blood, and I'm walking in the light. And thy spirit illumines my way. I've no fear now within, for the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved from all sin, and I'm walking in the light. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The redeemed one shall walk in the pathway of the just, which shines brighter and brighter each day. They shall sing and shall talk with the bright angelic host, where all sorrow and sighs flee away. I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved from all sin, and I'm walking in the light. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Praise God. All right, I will sing of my Redeemer.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing, my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell a wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing, my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, give his triumphant power to tell how the victory given over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing, of our Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with him to be. Sing, oh sing, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and
day. This is an awesome song for Easter.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us. His glory revealed. Living he loved me. Dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands that heal nations, stretched out on a tree, and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the drake could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now is ascended my Lord evermore. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound at his coming. One day the sky glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Oh, glorious day, glorious day.
Good morning, church. God bless you this morning. I was just thinking about the singing, okay? And I'm just going to be like kind of brutally honest for a moment. I'm out in the narthex with Landon, and he was having a moment. We were taking a deep breath and resetting behaviorally. Here we go again. And there was like pitchy sounds from this side, loud sounds from that side. It was almost a moment of cacophony. But you know who thought it was beautiful? Right? I don't care if I'm singing in this church choir and it sounds like a cacophony. All he hears is us making a joyful noise unto him. And that is an offering, yes? Yes, that is an offering. Yeah. Whether you're the screecher in the back seat, the preacher in the front seat, or the squealer on the side, make a joyful noise, and I will make one too. And heaven will accept it as an aromatic offering before the throne, yeah? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, well, we have a chance now to give back financially an offering as well. And so if you're online watching this later today, remember, you can go to tithely.com and find Gales Creek Church, or you can go to galescreekchurch.com and link to it as well and support the ministry that God has here at Gales Creek. Let's go together. Father, Lord, thank you for giving us all unique voices to come together and praise you with one voice. And now, in a moment, we take our finances and we together give them to your church and say, we trust you with one voice. And thank you for the money you have given to us to make our lives work with one voice. Thank you, Lord. Not just for the money, not just for friends, not just for family. Not just the finances, but through your building here in Gales Creek, where we can come, be together, sit together, and in our hearts and minds kneel before the throne of you, Almighty God, our provider. Amen. Thank you. And now the best time. Well, maybe second best. I love learning from you, sister. Just want to remind everybody that Debbie puts a lot of effort into the worship folders. Thank you, Debbie. But there's a prayer list here. So as you go through your week, make sure you're lifting up those written here. And we can do that now, obviously, but our chance here is to share as a family our needs. And I just want to lift up in our family the most pressing one, and that is Claire's surgery on Wednesday. Now we all continue to stay healthy so we can get that done for her, and she will feel much better having zero tonsils and zero adenoids. And moving on. And feeling, and she'll be the scooter skeeter, not just the skeeter. She'll be going all over the place. She'll feel better. So, anybody else? Prayer request or praise to share? Debbie, I see your hand. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Dawson and I had a lot of fun going over to Debbie's and fellowshipping yesterday and reversing a gate and installing a lock. And then her realtor to help her sell her house stopped by, and it was an hour of fellowship. And you don't get those chances all the time. That was just, yeah, I have a job to do, but you know what? Okay, God, we're stopping. This is about you right now. So, yeah, it was a great fellowship. Yeah. Haley. Right. So Haley's lifting up a request for Grandma Vicky, that's Vicky Nichols, to continue to have improving hearing. I know that is so, if you just look at Vicky's face, you can see it's so frustrating for her. She wants to be able to have her hearing restored. So prayer for Vicky, and then Haley's praising God that her accident was one you could walk away from with her car, and request that her body heal quickly from that. Anybody else with request or praise to share? Bill. For Nulu Oyunde. Okay. Been here a few Sundays to practice. So Bill is lifting up praises for Robert McDonald, a co-worker who is continuing to improve and will be able to come back to work soon. And then continued prayer for another co-worker, Michael Oyunde, who has a daughter, Nulu, that is battling breast cancer. It looks like most of the breast cancer has been able to be removed, but there's possible spreading they're concerned about. And they're doing chemotherapy. So pray for Nulu Oyunde. Haley. Yeah? A praise for a clear scan for your grandma. Yes, absolutely. Cancer negative still. I saw another hand. Was it Judy? Judy. Judy's just lifting up a praise that they got to get Lori Cooper out of her room and in a car and driving around for an hour and a half in the sun with two sisters who know the sun. Absolutely. What a blessing. Just to, anybody else, raise your hand if you're just happy to see some sun. I don't know about you, but it lifts my spirits. It does. I know my classroom's going to get a little more crazy, right, with the kids. But, yeah, it's better. It's a blessing. You know, the world is coming alive again. It's about time we have an Easter service because the world is resurrecting before our eyes out there. Absolutely. Anybody else? Josh. So praising God for a good day, getting out of the house, going for a walk in the park, lifts the spirits. Tony. So Tony's lifting up a teacher. He is starting a long-term sub for the next 6 weeks. Her name is Alexia Hamilton. Prayer for a speedy and efficient knee replacement surgery and a quick recovery so that she can get back to what she loves, which is teaching. And Tony gets to be in one place for 6 weeks and do what he loves, teaching. So God bless both and the children that are going to be touched. Absolutely. Anybody else? A prayer or a praise to share? Good. Prayer for men retreat coming up. It's only about a week and a half. Well, no. Yeah, a week away. Yeah. I see you back there, Kim. That's a real concern. So prayer for Mike Aaron. He's up on the roof today, fixing the roof. So Kim is asking the angels keep him on the roof. Yeah. Safely on the roof, getting fixed what needs to be fixed in this world anyway. Yes. Rhonda. Oh, yeah. A good praise update on Rhonda's granddaughter, Grace, who's being able to have her Keppra reduced. That's a seizure prevention medication. And hopefully Grace can get back to being med-free and seizure-free both. So, anybody else? Carolyn. My mom is lifting up my brother Kenny and just saying thank you for all the stuff he does. He lives with them at their house. Just like Sarah and I have the privilege of watching over her dad, my brother watches over my parents greatly. And I am very grateful for that as well. Anybody else? Yes, Linda.
Second birthday. It was just really wonderful. My baby sister came down from up north, and twin sister and daughter and I went up to go see Mom, spend the day with her. It was a lot of fun.
Linda's just praising God for the opportunity to be with a younger sister and visit Mom on her 82nd birthday. Yeah. She says, thank you, Lord, for my mom. Anybody else say that? Thank you, Lord, for my mom. Dad. Yep, for Mom and Dad. All right. Anybody else? All right. Let's go together as a family. Father, Lord, God Almighty, Creator of the universe, our Creator, the one who has given your very essence to us in our soul, we thank you for being so closely connected to our hearts and minds with your love and your concern. You know everything, and so you knew every one of these concerns before we shared them with each other. But Lord, you are our Lord, you are our Savior. We come together to you collectively, and we lift up these burdens that now we can share and know together. Thank you for this house and opportunity to be a family and to lift up medical needs and to praise you for healing that is occurring already. Lord, we thank you for a day where they can spend an hour and a half just in the sun on the town. Lord, we lift up Bill's co-workers at work for continued healing and for a better diagnosis, a more clear diagnosis about a cancer fight. Lord, we lift up those who are caregiving for family members, and we ask you, Lord, that you give them extra energy in every day to get done what needs to be done, to be your hands and feet on this side of eternity. Lord, we praise you for birthdays that come and opportunities to celebrate them, because really it's just celebrating another year of one of your created children and what you've done. Lord, we ask for long-term sub jobs that they end well, they do well, and the kids have reached well, and that those who have had to step away can heal quickly. Father, watch over us as we go through our days, as we climb on roofs, and as we crawl under houses, and as we mow lawns, and everything we do, please keep your guardian angels one step ahead of us, and keep us safe, so we can boast in your providence. Thank you for the finances we need to make it through our weeks. Thank you for jobs. And help us always be open to your Spirit wherever we are, to the hearts that you bring to us, ready to be filled with your love. And let us be sensitive to the Spirit for the right moment to show it to them and water seeds that others have planted, or plant some for others to water. Lord, we lift up a sister who I know really wants to be here. We lift up Vicky, Lord. We ask that you restore her healing and her hearing, the healing of her hearing. Lord, just open her ears to hear the fellowship around her and let it reverberate in her heart with the love that you have placed there. Lord, we just thank you for good days to go for a walk out in the sun in the park. We just thank you for the weather changing and for some relief from the cold and to watch the creation renew itself as you created it to do. Renew in our hearts a new blossoming of your love. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we lift up the leaders all around us. Our supervisors at work, our political leaders in life, on every level. We ask, Holy Spirit, go knock on the doors of their hearts. Impart wisdom to their minds so that they can make decisions that benefit everyone. That relieve chaos, bring order, and bring peace to this land. Lord, bring good leaders into the politics of this land. In such a time like this, it seems like good leaders are such in short supply. Bring good leaders. And let us be one where you have placed us, at work and in our homes. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, I know we got a couple kids in here, and we got like a good throwback song from summer camp, so we're going to do this. Yeah, we're going to do this. If I put you half to sleep with that prayer, it's time to wake up now.
Do I know this song?
I don't know, but are you going to know this song? Here, let's learn it. You ready? All right. So it goes like this. You ready? Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp. Hallelujah. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. And I will sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings, everybody. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King. You ready? Here's a new one. Give me gas in my Ford. Keep me trucking for the Lord. Give me gas in my Ford, I pray. Hallelujah. Gas in my Ford, keep me trucking for the Lord, keep me trucking till the break of day, and I will sing, sing, sing to the King of Kings, everybody sing, sing, sing Hosanna to the King. Let's see, what was another one from summer camp? Give me wax on my skis, keep me bobbing through the trees. I think that was one. Oh, give me cheese for my Frito, for the Lord is neato, neato. And they go on and on. Ah, for the Lord is awesome, awesome. And wax for my board, keep me surfing for the Lord. Ah, and it could go on and on. Lord God, thank you for giving us a children's heart in an adult body, that we can always remember to sing Hosanna to you, our King of Kings. Lord, let us remember that we are your children and we can trust you like a father. And we don't have to know it all. We don't have to do it all. But we can rest in you. And then as we do that, Lord, let us live it out before these little ones so they learn to do the same. Amen. Oh, no.
Good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord for this wonderful day. I want to extend a welcome to my friends, Sister Debbie and Mother Leona Smith. Welcome to you. Thank you for being here today. It's always good to have my old friends come by. So good morning to everyone, to those joining us online. Thank you for being with us today. We are in Lent, and last time we were together, we talked about the foolishness of God, remember? So for Lent, where the tying theme is on the way to the cross, because we look at those last moments that Jesus is with his disciples, and he's about to go to the cross. And so last time we talked about the foolishness of God, how God uses the message of the cross to set believers free and restore them to a healthy relationship with him. And that message confounds powerful people. It can confuse them because they're thinking why these simple things would be so important when we have these important things that should be important. And that's why it seems like it's the foolishness of God that saves us. It is power to the people who believe in Christ Jesus. It gives us life. It gives life to those who are wise and know who Jesus is and believe who he is, right? It speaks to those who are humble, those who are disenfranchised, those who are regular, everyday people. You don't have to be super rich to know Jesus. You don't have to be super educated to know Jesus. You just need to read the word, know about who he is and what he means, and then you can believe. So today's passage reminds us that on his way to the cross, Jesus prayed for us. Somebody say, amen. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know if we even think about the fact that Jesus prayed for us. He did, and we're going to see that in today's scripture. His words help us live out our mission, and the act itself, his very praying for us, proves him to be our perfect high priest. So I'm going to be reading today from the New Living Translation. I know in your bulletin I only highlighted a couple of verses there, but we're actually going to be reading a more lengthier text. So I'm going to take you back into the last part of Hebrews chapter 4, because that's really where the writer starts talking about Jesus being the high priest. And then we'll conclude in chapter 5 with verse 9 there. So chapter 4, starting at verse 14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do. Yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Every high priest is the man chosen to represent other people in their dealings with God. I'm skipping to, now chapter 5. represent other people in their dealings with God. He presents their gifts to God and offers sacrifices for their sins, verse 2. And he is able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subject to the same weaknesses. That is why he must offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as theirs. The writer is talking about the role of the priest. And no one can become a high priest simply because he wants such an honor. He must be called by God for this work, just as Aaron was, Moses' brother, is who he's referring to. That is why Christ did not honor himself by assuming he could become high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, he's quoting Old Testament scripture, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And in another passage, God said to him, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Melchizedek was a high priest way back in Old Testament scripture. While Jesus was here on earth, verse 7 says, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. Amen to God's word. So the writer of Hebrews is saying a lot there. He's talking about how Jesus impacts us in his salvation. I know that as we approach Good Friday, the day that Jesus was crucified, it does our hearts good to understand the complete work of Jesus on the cross. We may have a tendency to focus on his sacrifice. You know, we preoccupy ourselves as what were his last seven words? What was he doing with his disciples then? And how he got flogged and how they mocked him and put a crown of thorns on his head. So we focus on him hanging on the cross, right? Him being that perfect lamb. And then we forget why he is the perfect lamb. In fact, today's passage reminds us that Jesus is not only the sacrifice that makes us right with God, because remember that was the whole point of him coming, was to die on that cross, be resurrected, and then come back for us. That's the part that makes us right with God. But he is also the ultimate high priest. So now you have to go back to the Old Testament because, like, yeah, we're not Jewish. We're not Catholic, so we don't really deal with priests. So this is why we may forget about the role of the priest. The Old Testament teaches us about the role of the high priest. And so you can go back to Leviticus, several chapters in Leviticus, but particularly chapter 16 talks about the main job of what this high priest does. And the main job of the high priest was to offer sacrifice each year on the Day of Atonement. So remember that, what the Day of Atonement is? And what they, Jewish people still practice the Day of Atonement. They call it Yom Kippur. That's what the Day of Atonement is. The priest would enter the innermost room of the temple, the Holy of Holies. Now, I should have done a map of what the temple looks like. There are outer courts, like everyday people can be in the outer courts, but then as you go into the center of the temple, it gets restricted and restricted and more restricted. Everybody can't just go into the temple grounds, and you certainly cannot go into the Holy of Holies. It is reserved for not all of the priests, but only the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies. So only that man could do that. And to do it that one time of year, you go through this great drape that's partitioned that keeps that room separate from the rest of the outer pieces of the temple. And only that high priest could do it. And the priest could only do it after he had participated in the cleansing ceremony, because if he was not deemed clean by God, he could actually die by entering into the Holy of Holies. So I don't know if you remember some of the stories in the Old Testament where they're not allowed to touch the Ark of the Covenant, because what would happen? They would die. So God is saying, you cannot be in my presence and not repent for your sins. You cannot just show up any old kind of way. So he has to prepare that priest to come do his part on behalf of the people. So it's an assignment to become the high priest. You don't get to just elect yourself, as the scripture was saying. And even Jesus, being humble as he was, didn't just say, oh, well, I'm the son of God, so clearly I'm going to be the high priest. No. He practiced humility, and God called him to be the high priest for all of us. So as I said earlier, that assigned priest would undergo a cleansing ceremony, and then he could enter that room to make the sacrifice on behalf of the people. If he hadn't confessed his sins and made things right with God, he could die. Now, this is where people have the myth about the story about tying a rope to the priest's ankle so in case he died, you could pull him out. Well, it's not in scripture. So it's probably stories that parents tell their kids to make them behave. Or other saints of God who they just need to remind, right? Behave, Sister Donna. We don't want to have to tie a rope, okay, to that ankle of yours and pull you out. So you know, regardless if it's a myth or if it's actually true, the point is you don't approach a holy God without being holy, without stopping and pausing and reflecting, oh yeah, that one thing I said, that one thing I did, forgive me, Lord, for doing that. Recognize who you are as you stand before God. I'm not trying to compare yourself to other people. Remember, we do that. We like to do it. It's natural to do that. Well, I said 10 prayers, so I know at least I'm better than this person and that person and that person and that. God is like, no, sweetie, it's not a competition. I need you to recognize the sin in your own life. Stop worrying about everybody else and do what I've called you to do. So that priest had to do that for himself. Ooh, what sins have I committed? What sins has his own family has done? Let me get it right with God. And then I can stand before him, offer these sacrifices for the whole nation of Israel, so that we can stand rightly before our holy God. So besides this function, the high priests were different from the rest of the priests in that they weren't allowed to come into contact with the dead. There was only like a few exceptions, like if it was someone like in their immediate family, like if their parents had died and they needed to touch their beloved and get them prepared. But other than that, you really weren't supposed to defile themselves by touching anything dead, dead humans. They had restrictions on how they would cut their beards, like they couldn't cut their beards, and who they could marry. The other priest, okay, just it's all good. Marry who you want to marry. But for the high priest, not so. There were restrictions around that. And there was a special, they had special robes that they wore while performing their duties as well. But what's significant about the high priest is that he was the mediator, as all priests were, between God and his people. That's the role of the high priest. I am the go-between between this holy God and his people. The role of the prophet, because remember when you're back in the Old Testament, you had prophets, you had priests. The role of the prophet was to preach and tell people what thus says the Lord. We still do that now. But it was the high priest's job to atone for the sins of the people. And he would do that by sprinkling blood on the sack of the sacrifice goat on the mercy seat. And then he would also have what we call a scapegoat, because he would do prayers, right, of repentance over the scapegoat, and then they would send that goat out to free. That's where we get that term scapegoat. Term set that goat free so he could go and run out into the wilderness. That goat that was set free represents the forgiveness of all the sins, because God is removing your sins far away. As the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, I'm not going to remember your sins. You're forgiven. As the other goat was sacrificed, because the wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to give their life to pay for sins. So those are two symbols that we see that God uses to teach us about what it means to be forgiven. And that was the priest's job to do that, and particularly on the Day of Atonement, that one day where everybody's sin was acknowledged and forgiven. That was the high priest's job. And so Jesus is the ultimate high priest, because he sacrificed his life as the lives of the bulls and the goats that were sacrificed. And he performed the role of the priest by once and for all performing that Day of Atonement ceremony. So this is just beautiful how God use Jesus, his only begotten son, to be the sacrifice itself, that perfect lamb, right? To be that goat, to be that scapegoat, but also to be the high priest who actually intercedes for us and makes things right. And when Christ died, he performed Yom Kippur once and for all. So this is why we don't need to continue with physical sacrifices of killing the goats and killing the bulls and coming with two turtle doves and all the things, because Jesus did it once and for all. Jesus did not have to atone for his own sin as the priests would do, because as the scripture says, he was without sin. But that might leave us to wonder, okay, wait. So the priest identified with us because the priest was human. How does Jesus really relate to us? Because he really didn't sin like we do. Well, the scripture says that he is our high priest and he can relate to us. So you have to go back to the text. The answer can be found in verse 15. Read it again. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, it says. Why? For he faced all the same testings that we do, yet did not sin. So Jesus was tempted just like we are. He was strong enough, however, had the Holy Spirit in him, that he sinned not. So he gets it. This is why he understands us. He lived among us and was tempted just like we are. The Hebrew writer is presenting to us that Jesus is our high priest, and as such, he prays for us. Jesus understands what it means to suffer. He understands what it means to wonder if God is listening to his prayers. And he understands, can relate to, is God even there? Is he watching what's going on? Remember his words when he was hanging on the cross? Father, like, for real? Did you just abandon me? Those were his words. I'm pretty sure we've said those words over the years. If you had any amount of time following Jesus, you've probably said those prayers like, are you, what's happening right now? That's how what I say. What is happening? Are you listening to me? Can you hear me? What are we doing? What are we doing? Right? He understands that. He gets it, which is why he is the perfect high priest, because he can intercede for us. Because he says, Father, I know how it feels to feel abandoned. We think in our minds you have left us, but you haven't. So I need your spirit to be with them, to be with her, to be with him, to be with them right now. Because they don't feel you. They can't see you, so they don't understand you're still there. That's how he intercedes for us. Jesus is also an example for us of obedience. His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane teaches us how to ask God for strength to endure the things we do not want to go through, and relinquish our will to that of God's. Remember the Gethsemane scene? He's asking his, first of all, why are they sleeping? That's irritating. I told y'all to be praying with me. He has to pray by himself. Poor thing. And while he's praying, he says, you know, I know that I was born for this moment, but like, seriously? Is there no other way we can work this out? There's like no other way we can do this. Because, I mean, you are God after all. You have all power. So you could just like change the script and people could still be forgiven. And then he says, okay, nevertheless, not my will, but yours, God. So he teaches us in that moment of prayer to say, you know what, God, I trust you. Ultimately, I trust you. I don't understand. I'm afraid. I really don't want to have to go through this. But I trust you. I trust that your will is going to be better than mine and things are going to be okay. So we learn from Jesus' garden experience to pray not our will, but God, which teaches us subsequent lessons, like how to wait on God and to trust his way. Because in that prayer, that's what Jesus is modeling for us. So I give up my will, I take on God's, and then that means now I got to trust that God is actually going to do the things that he said he's going to do. I'm going to wait on him to move. Now, you know, sometimes, Josh, we get a little excited and we want to be like, okay, Lord, are we there yet? Did you come up with a new answer yet? Like kids, you know, and when you're driving along and the kids say, are we there yet? And you're like, no. Are we there yet? No. No. And you're tired of them asking you. I know God is like, okay, wow. Trust me. I know you can't see it, but just because you can't see it does not mean that it's not happening. Doesn't mean that I'm not doing anything. Doesn't mean that the spirit is not moving. Trust. Wait. So waiting means, okay, Lord, you're going to be praying while you're waiting. You're going to be doing what he's asked you to do while you're waiting. He teaches us that in that simple prayer of not my will, but yours. I want to read a little bit of Jesus' prayer. This is one of my favoriteest chapters, is John 17. It's the bestest. I won't read the whole chapter, but I want to highlight a couple of verses from John 17, because this, I think, is like the longest portion of recorded passage of Jesus praying. Because, you know, he's a praying man. So he prays all the time, but not all of his prayers are recorded. But this particular time, John, he writes down the notes. And so verse 9 and 10 says this, my prayer is not for the world. And Jesus is saying, all those people who don't belong to me, yeah, don't care about them. I'm talking about the ones that you've given me, the ones who actually believe. But for those you have given me, he says, because they belong to you, God. Verse 10, all who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. And now when you go down to verses 20 and 21, listen to what he says. I am praying not only for these disciples, Peter and John, who fell asleep, but also for those who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. It's just a beautiful prayer, beautiful prayer. And so if you go back later this week and read chapter 17, you're going to see some things that are captured. I'm just going to give you some of the things that are that Jesus prayed about. We learn to pray for protection, because Jesus prays for protection of the saints, safety of the saints, unity of the body of Christ, and to pray for God's love that it lives in us. And he also prayed that Jesus himself would live inside of us. So these are things that we can also pray for. Sometimes people ask me, well, Pastor, I just don't know what to pray for. Oh, well, per John 17, then I give them this list. Pray for the unity of the body. Pray for the protection of the body of Christ. Pray for the safety of the body of Christ. Pray that God's love lives in us and that Jesus himself lives in us. Because we can't go wrong if we are allowing God himself to live inside of us. In fact, if you read other scriptures, it would say, you're really not a Christian if God's not living in your heart. You're really not a Christian if you can't love the people around you. This is why we need Jesus in our hearts. This is why we need God's love in us. So the Hebrew writer says, Jesus is our high priest, proving that modern day believers, as you and me, living now in 2024, we're included in Jesus' prayer, because Jesus didn't limit his prayer to just the 12 or the 70 that he sent out and then the growing number after that. He wasn't talking just about those immediate disciples. He said, those who will become disciples based on their testimony, based on their preaching and their teaching. So that would be us all the way this 1,000 years later. We benefit from Jesus' prayer. And then that's verses 20 and 21. We get to continue Christ's ministry of reconciliation. So we see the second role of the high priest is not only just performing those the ritual to get us free from our sins, to pay that price for our sins, but we see the role of the priest is also to pray and intercede for the people of God. And that's what Jesus did. But the author of this letter, and I know sometimes you notice I'm not saying Paul, some people like to say, oh, Paul wrote Hebrews. It's not Paul's style. So we know that Paul didn't write the letter to the Hebrew people. Someone else did. Nevertheless, it is God's word. Just because it didn't come from Paul doesn't mean it's not God's word. It's a good letter. And so the author of this letter doesn't end with explaining that, oh, Jesus is the high priest. This is a hidden lesson. A part of what they're telling us is, yes, Jesus is the high priest. He performed the ceremony so that we could be cleansed. He was also the sacrifice itself. And he prayed for us. He intercedes for us as our high priest. the author says, and because of those things, there's two things I want to encourage you to do. The first thing the writer encourages us to do in response to Jesus being our high priest, go back and look at verse 14. So then, because Jesus is our high priest, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us, what did the word say there? Hold firmly to what we believe. What is it? What is this thing that we believe? Well, we believe that Jesus is God's Son, that he is the Messiah that God sent into this world to save it. That is what we believe. So hold firmly to that. I believe there are going to be some days that lie ahead of us that people are going to try to get you to believe different things. Don't believe the different things. Believe, hold firmly to what you know to be true about who Jesus is. He's not just a great man. He's not a good prophet. He was those things. He is the very Son of God. He is Yahweh's Messiah. Okay? Do not forget that. Because there are going to be some people who will try to argue with you that, yeah, he was cool, but he really wasn't the high priest that your Bible teaches you. Okay? Hold firmly to what you believe. The second thing that the author encourages us to do, we have to go back to verses 15 and 16, says this, listen, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. Verse 16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Why would we do that, writer? Because there we will receive God's mercy, and we will find God's grace that will help us when we need it most. So the writer says, yes, Jesus is our high priest, and I want you to hold fast to what you believe and boldly approach the throne of God and ask for what you need. Why? Because God's mercy will be there. His grace will be there to give us exactly what we need to overcome anything that happens in our life. Remember the Old Testament scripture about grace and mercy following us all the days of our lives. This is why he says, come boldly. Don't sheepishly, well, I might ask God about, no. Come boldly and say, Lord, I need this thing to happen and this thing to happen. We need people to be saved. I want to be able to testify over this, that you saved my child, that you healed my neighbor who didn't believe in you. You go boldly, God can hear you and make your request because it's according to his will. Not because I want a brand new car, Jesus, and I want some red bottom shoes. Oh, and not that prayer, not that prayer. Sister Debbie, tell your friends, no, not that prayer, not those kinds of prayers. The prayers that align with the will of God. So let's review once again what the author is teaching us through Jesus praying for us on his way to the cross. First thing, Jesus is not only the sacrifice for salvation, but he is the one who performs the sacrificial ceremony as the high priest. The second thing, as high priest, Jesus intercedes for us and thus prays for us. And lastly, because Jesus is our high priest, we should continue in our faith and boldly ask for what we need because God will grant us mercy and grace for all the things we need to do that he has called us to do and designed us to be. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for allowing us time to meditate on Jesus, praying for us, his followers. Thank you. Help us to trust you for salvation today, to boldly approach your throne, because we know that your grace and your mercy will be with us in this present life and in the world to come. We ask these things, God, because we know it's your will. It will bring you glory, and we need your power to make it so. Amen and amen. All right. Let's close with a song, and then I'll come up with our benediction.
This is a great song. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. Get all excited.
Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings, King of Kings. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings, King of Kings.
Amen. That's how we hold on to our faith, hold on to what we know. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings and will be forevermore.
Amen.
I'm excited about the forevermore part. One day we are going to be with him in eternity. That's just a wonderful thought. It's a wonderful thought. So I hope that inspires you that as we leave from this place, you remember that God is with you. He is not abandoning you because you're not in the house of God. He is still with you, living in your heart and in your mind. So go, my brothers, go, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that the power of God is in you to show others that Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. So go in his peace, go in his grace until we meet again. God be with you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Amen.